Glad to be here. You got good. You may be seated. We're going to get right into our lesson. Before we get into our lesson tonight, of course, next week is that's what it is. It's a good week. It's going to be a wonderful week. It's exam week. Our exam is going to be on chapter one. Of course, it's open book. So once again, I suggest you read the chapter. It's not a very long chapter. Read it. It's a very important chapter. It's going to give you, kind of give you the direction that we'll be going in. As I said earlier, we're going to challenge your theology. Of course, the last few weeks together have been changing your focus of church, focus of your relationship with the Father. We're moving from being self-centric to being God-centric. We've learned, I like to call it an apostolic definition of faith, because we've been taught faith to focus on us. Right. We found out in Hebrews 11 that our faith is not about us. It's about God's dreams. I know the thoughts that I think towards you. And so, the first chapter, I want you to read it. That's where the exam is coming from, because that's where I'll begin when we're together after next week. Of course, we won't have class next week because you'll be taking exams online. All right, internet exams will be open. I think they open. Sunday. I want to say, maybe Monday. Maybe Monday. I'm not sure. But whatever day is open, you have 7 days from that time to complete all your exams. All right, my exam is probably be the only exam that will not be timed. So that means I'm giving you hints now. I'm giving you, print the exam off, have it with you while you're reading, so that certain statements that are in the book will jump out at you, certain statements I want to jump out at you. All righty. Tonight will be the last night that I will not be in the book. My last night of introduction for this class. Excuse me. And the reason why I took so long to introduce this book is because when we get into this book, it's going to cause you to see how it's never been about you. And if you're not prepared, a lot of the stuff that this author say is going to upset you.
Right.
And his aim is not to upset you. I hope you listen to that minute. His aim is not to upset you, but to challenge your thoughts and to rearrange how we do things in the church. All right. So tonight will be the last night that I won't be in the book and given an introduction. If you would, turn to Genesis, the 12th chapter. God set a precedent in Genesis, the 12th chapter, that is the basis for how the kingdom works. If you don't understand this concept, then it will be hard for you to function in the kingdom. Genesis, the 12th chapter, starting off at the first verse. Genesis, the 12th chapter, the first verse. It said, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." Verse 3 is the verse I want to focus on. "And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." Now, this is a very familiar scripture. God has given Abram instructions on to get from around what you're familiar with. Get from around what you're accustomed to, because I'm getting ready to show you some new things that I want you to do. In other words, God was simply saying, I'm giving you a new agenda, a new reason for living. All right? So in doing that, in three verses, he laid the kingdom out. In three verses, he led the kingdom out. If you don't understand this, you will have trouble in the kingdom. In three verses, he laid the kingdom out, and every last one of us have to go through this process. Every last one of us had to go through this process. If you're not willing to go through this process, then like I said, it's going to be hard for you. If you don't go through this process, you're going to be always looking towards heaven.
Yeah.
And you're going to be catching hell here.
Yes.
All right. So let's start off with verse 3 and break it down. He said, I will bless. Bless means to empower, to prosper. God, and it's God speaking to him. So I, meaning God, said, I will empower to prosper them that empower thee to prosper. And I will cause them not to prosper, those that try to cause you not to prosper. And in thee, in you, Abram, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now let's get this straight. It wasn't Abraham the man, or Abram, the man that God was saying in him going to be blessed. It's the agenda I'm putting in you that's going to cause people to be blessed.
Yes, sir.
So everybody that helps you accomplish what I've called you to do, God said, then I'm going to be responsible for causing them to prosper.
Wow.
So now watch this, watch this. So when we start talking about covenant and we start talking about a connection and we start talking about helping, we start talking about being a part of something,
yes,
we have to first realize that God is our source.
Yes, come on. Yes, Lord.
In my case, I'm not looking at apostle to do anything for me.
Right.
God is my source.
Yes, sir.
Are you seeing this?
Yes, sir. Wow.
So when I serve or when I help him to accomplish what God has called him to do, God is now responsible,
yes, sir,
for causing,
wow,
me to prosper. And so you can't grab that and you can't wrap your mind around that if everything in the kingdom is about you.
Right.
See, the first thing you have to realize in the kingdom, that the kingdom is about God's agenda.
Yes.
It's about his plans. It's about what he wants. It's about what he has laid out. It's not about the problems you're going through. It's not about what you're going through. It's about what he wants to happen in your life. Hold your finger there, turn to Romans 8:28. Most people miss Romans 8:28. They quote it all day, but they miss it. Because Romans 8:28 is an apostolic scripture. It's a divine order scripture. This scripture just don't happen just to happen. It happens when certain things are taking place in your life. Watch this, Romans the 8th chapter. When we come back to Genesis. Romans 8:28. The apostle Paul is writing to the Romans. And he said, and we know that all things, not some things, all things. So now all things, that means the bad and the good. All things work together. Word is synergeo, together, synergeo. Meaning they working together for my what?
Good.
So that means if I take my focus off of what I'm going through and put it on what God wants me to do, then God is now liable to make what's bad happen in life to work out for my
good.
Watch now, watch. He said, work together for good to them that love God, to them who are. See, the Apostle Paul qualified that word love. He qualified the word love because love has to be more than just an emotion.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Love has to be an action.
Yes, sir. Right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
See, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So now love is just not an emotion. It is an action. So Paul qualified to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose.
Yes,
notice it didn't say your purpose.
Right. Come on now.
Notice it said, listen to me a minute. Notice it said to
his purpose.
His purpose.
Yes,
so that means if I'm called to God's purpose and I'm steady trying to get God to solve my problems,
right,
that means I'm focused on myself.
Yeah.
When I'm focused on myself, that means I block God from coming into my life,
right,
and doing what he wants to do, because all things,
yes,
work together.
Yes, sir.
The bad and the good,
yes,
is working together for my good.
Yes,
are you seeing this?
Yes,
back to Genesis. Genesis 12, verse 3. So we see God is establishing the kingdom. He established the kingdom, really, how the kingdom works in those three verses. We all going to have to leave our familiar surroundings, and we're going to have to find God's agenda. God's agenda is always going to be found in a man or a woman. God's agenda is always going to be found in a man or a woman. And let me let y'all know something. If you don't find the place that God has called you to be connected to, you will never reach your potential.
Right. That's right.
Because for people to say that God is talking to them by themselves mean that God has not talked to anybody else before you. That means that the plans of God or the kingdom of God starts with you.
Right.
If you're not connected to nobody.
Right.
And here we know that's a lie.
Because
we're reading this.
Yes,
he told Abraham to make you a father of
many nations.
So that means out of Abram was the agenda of God that all that wanted to be participants in the kingdom had to attach themselves to.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Are you seeing this?
Yes, sir.
See, this is the this right here is the foundation,
yes,
of the apostolic divine order.
Yes.
See, it's the foundation, because the apostolic is simply, let's look at the definition, our definition of the apostolic. The apostolic order, purpose of the apostle, watch this, is to structure heaven to earth government,
yeah,
or divine order, so that the portals of the supernatural can be opened,
yes,
so that heaven can invade earth. All right? So without an agenda, without a man or a woman, without an agenda from God, that's impossible to happen.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So you can go run reference in the Bible. Once you do your own, run your own reference in the Bible. Everybody that God called to use in his kingdom, when he called them, listen to me now, when he called them, he put his hands on them. The first thing he did was to connect them to somebody who was already doing what he called them to do. That's the very first thing. You can run through Elijah. Elisha.
Yeah.
Abraham and Lot.
Yeah.
Lot didn't finish right, but still,
yeah,
he was connected.
Yeah.
Good example. Go to Joshua. Because Joshua, the first chapter. Watch this. I want you to see this conversation between God and Joshua. Because it's a strange conversation. And because of religion and denomination, we take that eighth verse. And because we don't want to be apostolic, or we don't want our ego, that's the thing, our ego don't want us to be apostolic, we can hear God for ourselves, then watch this. The eighth verse really is a very deep verse.
Right.
All right, Joshua. Joshua 1. Let's see. Let us start at verse 5. This is God talking to Joshua. He said, there shall not be any man that be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. Now, this is what he, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which my servant Moses commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. All right. Now, God is talking to Joshua. Listen to everything that I want this to register to you. Let's get the setting straight. God is talking to Joshua. All right. Let's go to verse 8. Now, is that God talking to verse 8? It's not a trick question. Look at it. It's not a trick question. This is the class. Is that God? That's God. That's God, right? Right? That's God talking, right? He said this book. Now, this can't be referring to the whole Bible. Why this can't be referring to the whole Bible? Because the whole Bible hadn't been written yet. So what book is he talking about? This book of the law. Go to verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which, I want you to say it louder, which?
Moses
did what? He said, turn not from the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. So now God is telling Joshua, I want you to do everything. I want you to see the gravity of this conversation. Let's make it real. Here it is, Joshua talking to God, right? The one who gave Moses the law. God ain't giving Joshua the law. God is telling Joshua, do what Moses said to do. Why, if God didn't believe in divine order or connection, why did God give him the instructions? Why he didn't re-give the law? See, he didn't give it to him because divine order has to be created. So with divine order being created, God is talking face to face to Joshua and telling him, do what Moses say do. But God, I can hear you for myself. Ain't got nothing to do with that. God said, do what Moses told you to do. And look what happens. Look what he said was going to happen. He said, this book of the law shall not depart of thy mouth, but thou shalt what? Meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Now, religion and denomination want to take the verse 8 and make it about them, right? And think, if I can take this word of God, right, and meditate the word of God, then I'm going to solve all my problems. Right. That's not what that verse was saying. That verse was really talking apostolically. He's saying, Joshua, I connected you to Moses for a reason. When I connected you to Moses, I'm needing you to help Moses carry out his agenda, which comes from me. See, this is why you can't just haphazardly connect to anybody. You can't just haphazardly connect to anybody, because you have to make sure that their agenda is authentic from God.
Yes, sir. That's right. Yes, sir.
Just because they got a good phrase and a good motto, that don't mean nothing.
That's exactly right.
Because you have a good phrase and a good motto and have a bunch of people gathering and ain't nothing happening.
Right. That's right.
Ain't nothing going on. Ain't no life changing. We're just going through the motions. And Satan is completely okay with us going through the motions until we get to heaven. He's completely okay with us going through the motions. As long as we don't ruffle nothing, long as we don't penetrate darkness. He's completely fine with us just going through the motions and coming to church to get a word for us. Coming to church for our purposes, for our gain. He's perfectly fine with that because he can keep you bottled up. Is that making sense? So here we see that God is talking to Joshua face to face and telling Joshua, do what Moses said do. All right? That's divine order. That's divine. Now, watch this. Now, there had to be trust between Joshua and Moses. If there was no trust from Joshua towards Moses, then when God said that, Joshua would have been skeptical. But Joshua had seen his walk. Joshua had seen Moses' walk with God. See, that's why you can't just go by what a preacher say. Go by how he or she lives. Go by how he or she carries themselves. That's why the Apostle Paul gave the qualifications of a bishop. Gave the qualifications because without a track record of sanctification, of holiness, of a pure heart towards God, without that track record, somebody who don't have a pure heart toward God can't be a carrier of his agenda. Cannot be a carrier of God's agenda. So Joshua talking to God face to face, and God is telling him, do what Moses says do. God is not giving him no new instructions. He said, do what Moses said do. Are you seeing this? Turn me to 1 Kings. Let's see. First Kings 19. I want to show you why connection is so important. And I want to show you that the establishment of the kingdom of God did not begin with you or I. It began with Abraham. It didn't begin with you and I. So if God is sitting there telling Abraham, I'm going to bless those that bless you. That's God establishing how his agenda is going to be accomplished through covenant, how he's going to be obligated to take care of those who take care of those that carry his agenda. And so this particular scripture we're about to go to is going to give us a very vivid example of that, how important it is that we understand connection, understand covenant, understand that I can't come to church just for personal reasons. Most people never reach their potential because of their self-centric ideas of church. So God can't never reach down on the inside of you to pull out your potential. Because we're out here on the surface trying to take care of this outer world stuff, when if we go to the inside is going to rectify everything on the outside. That's Hebrews 11 and 3. Turn to Hebrews 11 and 3. Hebrews 11 and 3. It's amazing to me how denomination and religion has blocked our thinking that when we actually read the Word of God, it makes sense once you get these denominational glasses off, when you able to see the Word of God for what it is. Hebrews 11:3, he says what? Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So that's just simply saying everything we made came from an unseen world. So why are we trying to take seen world, I guess, tools to try to fix what can only be fixed from an unseen world. So that's why we have to go on the inside. What it means to go on the inside, that means I have to look beyond my current situation and say, okay, God, I'm now paying attention to you. I don't care how much this hurts. I don't care how much this embarrasses me. I don't care how disappointed I am. I'm going to look past this situation, and I'm going to look into the supernatural. Okay, God, what is it you want me to do? What is it you want me to do? What is it you want me to see? What direction you want me to go? And see, stop thinking when bad things happen that that's God trying to get your attention. No, that's not God trying to get your attention. Stuff just happens. So you don't have to have no condemnation. What am I not doing right? Because if you get under condemnation about what am I not doing right, why does bad stuff happen to me, now you in a deeper hole. So you have to, listen a minute, you have to make up in your mind that I'm going to go after God no matter what. No matter what, no matter what happens, no matter who turns back, no matter what, I'm going after God. Through faith, we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So my outer world is going to be changed by my inner world. So I can't stay on the outside trying to change my situation. I have to go on the inside. How do I go on the inside? By spending time with God and saying, God, what's your plan? What do you see me doing? Now I'm not going to try to come out here and fix this problem. God, what do you see me doing? Because if I'm going to make it worse. All right. 1 Kings, the 19th chapter. I want you to see this. Got a few more minutes. Because a lot of times we're saying so much stuff, I want this stuff to digest. So a lot of times I won't be able to go the whole 50 minutes. Because we've been saying so much in 30 minutes that your mind is like, wait a minute, I got to catch up to this before I go any further. See, a lot of this stuff we're talking about, see, God laid out the kingdom in 3 verses. All of us go through the same process. We have to leave what we're familiar with, right? We have to hear the voice of God. The voice of God then connects us to somebody. See, so your connection has to go beyond church membership. So that's why we got to change. Another phrase is a paradigm shift. Yeah. Right. Change the way we do things. Change the way we think about things. So now I see my church not as just a place I go to get the word of God. I'm seeing this as a place of kingdom instruction. Yeah. Yes, sir. How I'm going to understand how my life unfolds. So if the preacher in the house is not apostolic, other words, what it means to be not apostolic? Just ain't got no agenda. Just going through the same motions. See, that's the problem with denominations. The problem with denominations is that they want to remain in control. And they go in circles and never move any other direction with God. They just go in circles. You got some denominations, they got their tenets. I don't care what God say. They're going to keep going around the same circle. That's exactly right. Keep going around the same circle. And once again, Satan don't mind you going around in a circle. Because you keep walking in a circle, all you're going to do is wear out where you're walking. Right. You ain't taking no territory. Right. You ain't getting involved in no other area. Right. So Satan can run rampant wherever he wants because denominations walking in a circle. Wow. See, that's the problem with religion. Religion is man's idea about who God is. Man, see, I believe in a relationship. See, watch this. I believe every person in here, God, there's one significant, holy, solemn thing that God will not take away from you. I call it holy. I call it solemn. I call it sanctified. I call it significant. Is your ability to choose.
Yeah, that's right.
Because God won't even choose your leader for you. You have to make that choice. Wow. He might make the picture clear for you,
right,
but you have to make the choice.
Right. That's right.
Wow. About to see this. 1 Kings, I'm going to close here. 1 Kings 19. Let's see. This is God talking to Elijah. Let's see. Let me get to it. Let's see. I'm making sure I'm in the right verse. I think it's the 15th verse. That's it. Verse 15. And the Lord said unto him, talking to Elijah. All right, Elijah, go return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. Now, I know y'all taking notes here. I want y'all to take notes of three things in here. Go return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, number one, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. All right, that's number one. Number two, and Jehu to be the son of Nimshi, shall thou anoint to be king over Israel. That's number two. All right. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Bemlaholah, shalt thou anoint to be a prophet. Now listen to this, a prophet in, because see these little phrases we skip over. A prophet in, can you see it?
Mm-hmm.
What it says, a prophet in
thy room.
Other words, God saying, is telling him, I want him, you to anoint him to be a prophet in your apostolic house, in your domain, in the agenda I've given you. So I'm giving you the right to anoint him to help you accomplish what I've called you to do. All right. You go to verse 17, God going to some other things and letting Elijah know what was going to happen. And so verse 19. So he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing the 12 yokes of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. God will give you, make the picture clear. He'll make the picture clear, but he won't make the choice for you. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. And he said to him, go back again, for what have I done to thee? In other words, Elijah was just telling Elisha, listen, man, I didn't tell you nothing about following me. I just cast my cloak. I did what God told me to do. So it's key now. This is key. When God connects you to a man or woman of God, when they don't do what you want them to do, you don't get mad at them. You get mad at God. Because they didn't call you. Come on, grab this now. Grab this. Don't you get mad at them. Get mad at God because they didn't call you. They didn't tell you to follow them.
That's exactly right, sir.
They didn't call you. So why do we in the church get mad at the leaders when they make a decision? Because God, watch this. Listen to me. God is not going to tell each and every last one of us everything.
That's exactly right.
This is why. See, everything, all things work together for them who love God. All things. So watch how God uses some of our infirmities to bless us.
Yeah.
Give you a case in point. The reason why God, this is real good. The reason why God don't tell all of us everything he wants us to do because we all hear him differently.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
We all hear God differently, and a lot of times we hear God based on how we perceive things.
Right.
So God is not going to tell us everything. That's why God didn't tell Joshua everything. He said, just do what Moses told you to do. And when you get that down, when you meditate that and you get that down, then you'll be learned to hear my voice the way I want you to hear it.
Right. Yes, sir.
Now watch how God used that to our advantage. When you're in church on Sunday mornings and your man or woman of God is preaching, then I promise you, when revelation is coming forth, everybody in the room is hearing the same words, but they're hearing it differently based on where they're at in life. That's why God don't tell us all the details together, because we're going to hear it based on where we are in life.
That's exactly right, sir.
Is that making sense? So God used that for us to our advantage, but then he know that could be against us if he start telling us every little detail.
Right.
See, can you imagine if God would have told each individual Israelite in Egypt to kill the fattest calf and put the blood over the doorpost?
Right.
Can you imagine what would have happened?
Right.
Some of them, they're already struggling. I'm not about to kill the fat.
Right.
I'm gonna kill this other one.
Right. Uh-huh. Right. The little sick one.
I'm gonna kill that one. Look, he about to go anyway. And that's not what God was looking for. So therefore, God got to give instructions to a man or woman to give to us.
Right.
Is that making sense? Now watch this. Now it's three things God told Elijah to do. And we could go through all the exploits. I don't have time. We go through all the exploits. We get to it later on in the semester. We go through all the exploits of Elijah, all what he did and wonderful things he did. But you do remember that he did get caught up in that whirlwind.
Yeah.
Right? God called him up and brought him to heaven, right? Do you know that he only accomplished one of those things? Out of the three things God told him do, he only did one. And that was to anoint Elisha. Elisha did the other two. Do you see the importance of the agenda?
Yes, Jesus.
Do you see the importance of why God deals with divine order?
Yeah.
If we don't deal with divine order, the dreams of God go undone.
Yeah.
If we all have our selfish motives for ministry, then God's agenda goes undone.
Right.
God told Elijah to do three things. You can look at it in 2 Kings. He told him to do three things. Think of 2 Kings, the 8th chapter. He told him to do three things, and he only did one, and that was to anoint Elisha. Elisha the one, now mind you, Elisha the one that anointed Elihu and Hezekiah. I think I'm pronouncing it right. You can read it. Elisha did that. Elijah couldn't do it. He was caught up. So now, watch this. Do you remember what Elijah asked Elijah before he left? What can I do for you, right? There are many teachings on the double portion. Many teachings on the double portion. Many people teach on the double portion. If you stay connected, you can get the double portion. I want to say 17 years, the historians say that Elijah walk with Elijah, so then they got the number 17 out there. If you stay 17, you'll get a double portion. No. No. The double portion, he was only able to receive the double portion when he assured Elijah that he was going to fulfill the agenda. Because without fulfilling the agenda, there's no need for the anointing. There's no need for the double portion. If you ain't planning on doing what God called you to do, if you ain't planning on fulfilling his kingdom, there is no need for the anointing on your life.
That's exactly right.
There's no need for nobody to lay hands on you to pass on nothing if you ain't plan on doing what God had called you to do. And one of the things, God made this easy. This is not hard. When God called you and connected you, he's telling you, I'm letting you see your future in your present. I'm letting you see your future in your present. All Elisha did was saw his future in his present. When he saw Elijah maneuvering, functioning that anointing, all he was doing was watching himself in the future right now. But if he had not adhere to the agenda that God had given Elijah, then Elijah would have had no right to ask him, what can I? That's the only reason why Elijah opened himself up like that was because he knew Elijah. Matter of fact, if you go back and read it, when Elijah asked him that, he said, I want a double portion, right? Mm-hmm. Most people in the body of Christ, after they hear that, they getting excited. They jumping up and down, talking, I got a double portion of the anointing. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. That ain't what Elisha did. The Bible says when his master got caught up in the whirlwind, he cried out aloud, why have you taken my master from me, and tore his clothes up? Because he was in love with who God had connected him to.
Right. That's exactly right.
He was in love with what God was doing with Elijah. He had the double portion, but yet was upset because his master is not there no more. Right. His teacher is not there no more. Connection. So how unselfish, how non-self-centric do you have to behave like that? Because in the body of Christ today, most people get the double portion. They ain't even think about what happened to the teacher.
Right.
They going to do great exploits.
Right.
God put his agenda in men and women of God so that you can have something in the natural to attach to.
Yes, sir.
So remember, the one solemn thing, the one holy thing that God will never take away from you is your ability to choose. So it's our choice. Listen to me, it's our choice. It was Lot's choice to go with Abram. It was Elisha's choice to go with Elijah. It was Joshua's choice to go with Moses. Are you seeing this? It was the disciples' choice to go with Jesus. It was Timothy's choice to go with Paul. It's your choice. So if it's your choice, and a lot of us will quickly use the phrase, God told me to. So now if God told you to, why you get mad when who God connected you to don't follow your instructions? Is that making sense? Because here's the thing, and I'm closing, here's the thing. God is not going to connect you to somebody that's going to keep you comfortable.
Right. Come on and teach you better.
God is going to connect you to somebody that's going to challenge you. Can you imagine Moses choosing you as one of the 12 spies and telling you, go over in that land where there's enemies at and tell me what you see?
Right.
I'm sure them 12 spies, they didn't want to go over there.
Right.
They didn't want to go over there. They were scared. They ain't gonna go over there. They wanted to stay in a comfortable position where they were,
right,
surrounding Moses.
Right.
Moses said, no, go see. We gotta make plans. Go see.
Right.
They were so uncomfortable that 10 of them came back. They said, oh, no, we don't need to be doing this. But the one who had the pure heart and knew the agenda, the two, came back and said, we well able. Because it wasn't, watch this, they knew Moses. See, First John, the fourth chapter. I'm going to use a principle out of here. I'm closing with this. Verse 12. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. They say, no man has seen God at any time, but if God dwells in us, listen to me, if God dwells in us, then those that have never seen God will get a chance to experience God because God lives on the inside of us, right?
That's right.
Now watch this principle. Watch this principle. The same principle is this. God is saying, if I can't get you to be connected to who you can see, how am I going to trust you when you can't see me? How am I know you're going to do what I'm asking you to do? You can't see me, and you can't follow the instructions of somebody you can see. So we have to begin to see our leaders as a mouthpiece, not just a mouthpiece for God. Watch this. Not just a mouthpiece for God to give us our word to solve our problems, but a mouthpiece for God that will give us instructions on how we can play our part in the kingdom.
Come on
in here. Come on now. And see, that's up to you to see that differently.
Yes, sir.
It's not up to your leader to convince you that's who they are. That you got to see that. Paul said, am I not an apostle to you? Are you not a workmanship of mine? Paul was telling them, Paul was letting the Philippians, let them know, hey, listen, I'm going to be who I'm going to be, but I need y'all to see who I am to you so you can understand divine order. See, there were guys that didn't recognize Abraham. Those kings didn't recognize Abraham until Abraham walked in there with his own trained servants out of his own house, his own agenda, and went in there in the 14th chapter and took everything back. They didn't recognize until after. I believe it was Isaac. They wanted Isaac to leave. They didn't recognize Isaac. Then when he left, everything started turning back. Now they wanted to come back. See, it's up to you to recognize. And see, once you recognize, you begin to hear God clearer than somebody who hadn't recognized who they're supposed to be connected to. Because this whole thing, God, remember that Genesis 12, 3. God laid out the kingdom and how the kingdom worked in three verses. You leave unfamiliar territory. You hear his voice about who you're supposed to be connected to. And once you connect, you help them achieve what God has called them to do. And then God is now responsible for causing you to prosper.
That's right. All right.
Next week, remember now, don't show up here. All right? Internet, don't turn on the internet thinking you're going to see any of us live. Apostle will not be live next week. Next week is exam week. So I think the exam's open Monday, I think, at 6. And if that's the case, they'll be open till Monday of the following week. All right, y'all have a good night. Bless you all. Thank you all.